Right, we're joined by the boss man, Peter Knox. A lovely lady over in the States, Kerry.
Hello.
And special guest, Brian Lacey.
Hey, how you doing? You good?
Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I can't see you. This is what I was looking forward to. You always do interviews in different parts of your house. So I was looking forward to seeing which part of the house I'm in. I'm in the kitchen, the front room, the lounge. What are we doing? Where are we?
Tonight I'm actually in front of my Amy Winehouse picture by JJ Adams. Her. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're missing out. That's actually made my tripod go down. So you're back on MMA UK Airwaves.
I know, it's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a
little while. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Someone nicked my spot. I don't know who it was.
I can't even remember who the issue was.
Well, whoever it was, they weren't good enough. For anyone that doesn't know, Brian is the voice of ACA, and he's also one half of the fabulous One Punch podcast. Brian, can you give us an update on the One Punch podcast? We haven't heard you guys for a couple of weeks.
I know we're sort of in a stalemate position. So we've been on BT Sport, which has been awesome. They've been really good, and the pod response was excellent. To keep it going on there, we need sponsors. So we've been looking at them. They're still looking at those. But we're also now in talks with two other platforms to go somewhere else. So we'll see. It's going to carry on. It's either going to be back on BT Sport. They're going to give us a red light or a green light in the next couple of days. And if not, then we've got two exciting platforms. One that definitely know about this side of the water, and the other one is hopefully one that's maybe even a little bit bigger. So we'll wait and see. So yeah, it's going to be back. There's no way, because we hang out too much, that we can't record our stupid conversations. And you in particular will be glad to know that one of the things we couldn't do on BT Sport, because we can only talk UFC, is we couldn't do our shenanigans. We couldn't have the stupid end to every show. So we had so many messages. I tell you what, forget about the Dustin Poirier interview after he won his title. Forget about Mike Brown dropping some amazing, embarrassing stories about Brad Pickett. The most messages we've had ever since we've moved to BT Sport is, where the hell is shenanigans? So that's the level of our audience, and people were coming back for you. Don't worry.
Oh, that's wicked. That's good to know. So that's something to look forward to if you don't end up on BT Sport then.
BT Sport,
we're not getting it.
Brian, is it true if you go back in BT Sports, it's pay-per-view?
Mate, that might be the only way we can find it in a minute. So don't joke about it yet, mate. Don't joke yet.
Kerry, just while we're on this topic, you guys are used to pay-per-view for the UFC. This one coming up, 229, is going to be the first one that's pay-per-view in the UK. It's looking, from everything we've read online, it's looking like the take-up for this is going to be super, super low, because the main card here doesn't start till 3 a.m. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, it's got to suck considering you guys haven't had to pay for it. So that's got to be a little bit of a blow. And I don't know how much it is over there, but over here, it's holy crap. I mean, it's like $79 for a big card. And that, I mean, it's not like it's a ton of money, but still, when you add up how many pay-per-views they have and having to pay for UFC Fight Pass plus ESPN Plus, I literally said the other day, MMA is officially the most expensive sport to watch as a fan. And it really is when you look at it like that. It's kind of, you know, it's a little disheartening, but whatever. And then, oh wait, you got the zone, right? You got that too. So it's how many things are we all going to have to pay for?
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to the UFC later on, but there was some amazing fights this weekend, this side of the pond, with Cage Warriors. I mean, for me, it was unbelievable to cover my first Cage Warriors London as media and such. I mean, it had a bit of everything. It was controversial circumstances. Obviously, the main event, never seen an event stop for that. Brian, you've seen more fights than probably anyone in the world. Have you ever seen a fight stop for that before?
Well, do you know, this is weird. we'll talk about this one to start with. So what they announced it was stopped for wasn't what it was stopped for. So they said excessive blood, which is not a reason to stop a fight, because you'd have to then say whose injury is causing that. And obviously they were both bleeding a lot.
And the doctors said they were fine.
Well, the doctors checked them. They must have had a good set of blood banks in the back to fill them up again. But the doctors checked them, and the cuts weren't in a place that were impeding them. They could continue. The fighters were responding properly. The actual reason Mark Goddard stepped in was the surface was unsafe to compete on. So that is what is down to. When it was announced, you saw the announcer say it was due to excessive blood, or and you saw Mark Goddard's face when that was announced. He wasn't too happy. But it's weird, because I was in Preston this weekend, and one of the fighters on there was Mark Andrew. He took on Conor Hitchens. In his corner was Rhys McKee. Now, if you watch the Rhys McKee-Perry Goodwin fight, they're both slipping on the same surface. Yeah. So Rhys managed to finish that fight before it became an issue, as it was with the Dolby fight. But it was still an issue. And the thing is there, it's the surface that the promotion have chosen to put on that mat. Now, vinyl is a choice by the promotion. Vinyl is something which is cheaper to produce than canvas. So I don't know if Cage Warriors reuse their canvas and their vinyl and they take it show to show. I don't know that. But if, and you see other shows, smaller shows that can't afford to pay for a new canvas every single time they do it, like the regional ones, you can understand that. But when you look at a promotion like Cage Warriors, and I thought the event was awesome. I thought the title fights were fantastic. I thought the build-up was excellent. And I think it's just such a shame that fight in particular, which was an absolute barn burner, they both went to war. They both showed exactly what they literally bled their hearts out on that canvas in that performance. For it to be stopped because of a vinyl, and that's a choice a promotion makes. That's the bit that gets me. If you see in the UFC or other promotions around the world, Bellator, they all use canvas. And the reason you use it is it soaks up the blood and it gives you more contact. Vinyl doesn't just get affected by blood. Sweat as well, so you sweat. Saw in the middleweight,
which we saw, in the middleweight fight.
In the middleweight fight, they start slipping when they're trying to scramble from positions.
Yeah.
So for me, what it was really sad, especially when there was a Night of Champions and it was living, it was awesome. That I thought the title fights were true title fights. I thought there were some amazing performances. I thought it looked great. The attendance was great. What's the real shame is that one choice. That was made has affected the night, and that's what we're talking about. We should be talking about either Dolby unifying the title, or we should be breaking this down as in that. And I thought it was a real shame. I've never seen. And the other thing is, you could see the blood. It looked so gory. It looked absolutely awful. It painted the canvas because the blood is nowhere to go. So I think I think it's a shame. I don't like going against, like saying negative things about promotions, especially when it was such a good night. But when you saw, especially in that main event, those two were going through, for it to be stopped because of that. And I thought Mark Goddard made the right call, a brave call, and he did it in the right way. I think that's the shame of that event. But maybe we'll get to see it again, whether it's in the UFC or on Cage Warriors. But I spotted that issue with the Perry Goodwin and the Rhys McKee fight, and I thought, well, maybe they've seen that and maybe they'll make an adjustment. Now it's out in the media. We'll just see in the next event whether they'll make that choice, because it's been such a talking point that if they don't change that, then that's crazy, because
For me, it's just such a shame that they could have come out straight away and held their hands up and said that this is something to learn from. We're sorry the fight got stopped in this way. All future events are going to be done on canvas. But I don't know if you saw the Twitter back and forth with Brad Walton, who works for Cage Warriors, obviously is one of the commentators, and Big John McCarthy, not someone I would choose to pick on today, but he very much had your viewpoint, and Brad was defending the choice and saying it had never been an issue before.
I like Brad. I think he's great, and I think he's very vocal on Twitter as well. I think he's got a personality. Yeah. Let's be honest there. So and he's obviously Cage Warriors is his team. That's who he's out there. That's you've seen it on other things when he's had a few digs at old promotions like Bama after the Jai Herbert one and stuff like that. And I think obviously he's been there. He's seen so many fights called in that cage without any issues. But if you are a competitor, if you've even rolled or fought lightly on any vinyl and then a canvas, you feel the difference. You absolutely feel the difference. And for me, Cage Warriors are a massive show. They are huge. There's no denying it. They are a big platform. They've got good following. They're a great gateway towards the UFC. They've proved that time and time again. They put on good shows. But that is a choice by the promotion as far as cost. That is it. That's the only difference. And the vinyl and the canvas, I've seen the difference depending on your size of your cage. It's not that much. It is for a small promotion. If you are a small promotion that is just regional, doing two or three events a year, and that would affect whether you make money or lose money, then I can understand why you would use a vinyl and you can read some repeat and use it. But when you are at that level, with that level of athlete and that level of fight, the Night of Champions, then it shouldn't even be a choice. They deserve it. It's the right surface to fight. And that's why all the other major promotions around the world use the canvas, because it's the best. It's the best to use. And I think, it's a shame they didn't just go, we need to switch that. But Twitter's Twitter, isn't it? People get into little spats and fights, and that's what happens. And the real test will be whether they use canvas next time.
Brian, did you think when Goddard was looking at like Ross's nose and there was a hole in it, Bridgie's nose, did you think it was close to stopping?
Because
I had a fight stop once at school when a guy punched me in the nose and it was bleeding. The teacher stopped it. I'm just glad Matt Goddard wasn't my teacher, because if he let me get beat to a pulp, you know what I mean?
Hey, listen, the fact that, I mean, obviously they got the doctors there, and I thought the doctors did a good job as well, because they had a lot to do that night. They had a lot to do, and there were loads of ways they could have called it. I think where the cut was, and where it's not bleeding directly into the eyes, it's also not in a place where you can really make it much, much bigger as far as like on the bones and on your eyebrows and things like that. So they were both beaten up. It was a title fight. I think they got given the most chance to continue. But yeah, I for me, the whole way through, as soon as the blood hit the canvas and they started slipping, and that's what was also worrying, is that they were able to damage each other in positions where they couldn't defend each other, defend themselves, because they were so busy trying to get a base. Yeah, it adds danger to the fighter, and I think that's... So I thought Goddard's call was bang on. I thought it was absolutely bang on. I mean, you can say what you want about him outside the cage, but inside the cage, I thought with that one in particular, as soon as it got stupid, he put his foot down, and that takes a lot. That takes a lot. You are stopping a title fight. You're stopping not just a title fight, a main event, Houston versus Dolby, the one that's all been building up to. That you can feel how big of a fight it is. And he did what he does, and he stepped in and he said, enough's enough. So I haven't got any problems with what Goddard did on the main event there.
Goddard actually issued a statement tonight about that, and about how he stopped it and all that. And he said when Ross was on his back, the blood was going in his eyes, and he was breathing the blood as well through his lungs and stuff. So he was,
it's a beautiful spot, isn't it?
he did say he was quite close to stopping it there, but he was. In the end, he made the call on the canvas, but he issued a statement tonight. Okay. Brian, if you were in charge of Cage Warriors, what would you do? What would you do now? Would you change the canvas?
That'd be the first thing that you have to change, because it's had so much heat on off the back of the event. So you've got to be looking to move forward. You've got to learn lessons, and these things happen. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. That's how you get better, not just as a promotion, but as a person, all that sort of stuff. So if I was that, that's the first thing I'd do. Next event, canvas, that's not a talking point anymore. Let's get it back to the fights, get it back to the fighters, and that should be the focus.
Well, what do you think would have happened if there was more fights to follow that fight?
You see, they would have had time to clean it in between. But if there'd been another bleeder, then you'd have the same problem. And again, I'll tell people to go back and have a look at the Rhys McKee, Perry Goodwin one. It was a real issue in the scrambles up against the cage on that one. They really struggled. And that's just not a fair surface to fight on. That's like sticking two world-class boxers on ice and saying, go on, use your footwork here.
could they not have had a five-minute break then, like you get for a groin shot? So you're like, take 5 minutes and we'll clean up the cage. And
Houston should have just whispered, kick me in the dick. Let's give him 5 minutes to clean this up and let's get back to business. No, that's the other problem. You can't stop the fight. Go on.
I thought everybody came out of it well, apart from the controversy over the canvas. You know, the fighters were both, obviously they were, had hearts of warriors in there. Afterwards, them both on the top of the cage, like that's like a great iconic picture. Photo. Yeah. And you know, even Ross Houston saying like, "Oh, I feel a bit out of order because the fight was going in his favor, and I'm sorry about all the." Or, you know, the trash talking is just what I do. And, you know, I've got ultimate respect for him. I just thought there was so much respect there. That was fantastic. I thought it just showed that we do have the best refs in the game in the UK. It was just that canvas.
Yeah, there's also one more issue, because Boland said before the fight, the winner most probably will get on the UFC Copenhagen card. There's obviously not enough time to have a Cage Warriors rematch before then. And obviously, Ross did say, let's have a rematch in the UFC. You guys think that would happen?
Kerry, what do you think?
I mean, why not? If that's where they're both looking to go, and that obviously, you know, that's not going to be outside of the realm of what should happen. That fight was fantastic, you know, up until it got stopped for, you know, what we can all say was a not a great reason. Although, again, it was the right call to make, because you don't want to see somebody get hurt and be in an unsafe situation. But yeah, no, I'd love to see that rematch. Absolutely. Absolutely. That was such a great fight, and to see their sportsmanship after was amazing. So top to bottom, anybody that knows me, the more bloodier the fight, the better. So I was like, yeah, hit him again.
Just bleed,
Brian.
Brian, you didn't look as convinced that the rematch will be in the UFC.
I just think it's a hard path for Dolby to get back to the UFC. I think Dolby's been there. He's been in there. He's come out of it. He's rebuilt himself amazingly. And I thought that fight was, just another step, which shows that he's growing. He's still a badass fighter. He's still really good. But I just can't see the UFC off the back of that fight and the fight before it, bringing him back there. Maybe, I mean, there's a selling point. He's from Europe and it has got a bit of media behind it. But in all honesty, I see that being another main event in a cage. Was a really awesome main event as well, because just look at what you've got for the build up now. Look at the rounds they put in on that, and then to think about it going potentially another three rounds is just it is awesome. But I don't see it being in the UFC, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in Cage Warriors as well. What do you think, Peter?
Well, somebody said today, why not a Cage Warrior Scotland? But that's not going to happen this year, maybe next year. But the way what you've just said there probably will be a Cage Warriors one. Mm. We've got London coming up again. Is it Liverpool?
November.
Because I know somebody mentioned Birmingham. Have they booked Birmingham as well?
They have got a Birmingham event. I'm sure they have. Yeah.
So that's another one. Ross, would that be a good one for Ross? Because he sometimes goes down there to train. So.
Yeah. Well, we better move on. I could talk about that fight all night, but I'm going to talk about them in order of controversy rather than fight order. So let's move on to the middleweight fight. I'm so intrigued to know how you guys were scoring it, and I was so impressed with Frederick, because I know James Webb well. I honestly thought that the only chance that Frederick had was to catch him, and to catch him with, you know, middleweights. If you get caught with a punch from them, you're going out. I was so impressed. I've never seen anyone, when James Webb gets you in full mount, being able to escape like that. It must have been so soul destroying, because it must have taken so much effort to get him down, like time after time. And just... you know, I can't heap enough praise on Frederick, but I was scoring the fight 3-2 to Webb. And then obviously there was that point deduction. So I was quite surprised to see it go to a majority draw. So should we talk about, let's first of all talk about the point deduction. What did you think of that, Brian?
I thought it was a fair point deduction, to be honest, because it's not just the spike, it's the reaction afterwards and the talking with the referee, the way he did. And let's talk about the actual spike to start with, because there's the controversy, and I think Fred he spoke to you afterwards. Is that right, Katie? He talked to you about he did it earlier in the fight.
But yeah.
If you see when he lands him earlier, the body of his opponent is at an angle, so his head comes down on the side. It's almost the shoulder and then the head. Whereas this time it was straight up, and that is an illegal spike. If you drop that, and you don't need to get a warning for that, because if you spike him and you break his neck, there's one point ain't going to change him walking again. So you have to be absolutely, if you are doing that, and he said he does that in practice or he does that in his other fights, that's a dangerous move to pull off, because it's on you. If on the flip side, if you are Rose Namajunas and you lock up a Kimura on Jessica Andrade and then you get your head spiked, it's your choice to let go of that Kimura to free yourself up, to stop yourself falling. That guy had no choice. That guy had absolutely no choice. That was a classic tombstone into the canvas. And I thought, Mark Goddard, 100%, that was an illegal move. I thought the reaction of Frederick was really poor, to be honest. I think I can get this. There's emotion. But the fact it carried on for so long, it affected him on the ground. He's talking to the ref. Then after the fight, I think he's just... I know there's emotions and all that sort of stuff, but that is a high-risk move. And I'm not talking about high-risk as far as he's going to get himself hurt. You can cause massive damage. If you spike someone's spine straight through the top of their head, that's life-changing. So if he's unaware that that is as dangerous as it is, then that's poor. But then his reaction afterwards to keep going on at Mark Goddard. And Mark had a tough night like this. And I'll say it again, whatever you think of him outside the cage, he had a lot to handle in the cage there.
Yeah.
And again, you can easily jump on him. You could easily say, well, he could have communicated or spoken to him. He did everything right there. Because that was straight down. As soon as he saw that, he stopped it. He went to speak to him. He then had to deal with the emotions and the reaction. He could have stopped the fight then. You don't threaten a referee. You don't push him around. When he tells you to come towards
you... Do you think he should have been disqualified?
I don't think he should have been disqualified. I just think he needs to learn from this, because he was close to being disqualified on the biggest stage with his biggest performance. I had him winning that fight. Yeah, I did. So I think if without that, I think he would be walking away with a belt on his shoulder. But he's got to go and look at it. He's got to go and look at it again, learn those lessons. But as far as the actual move and as far as how it was dealt with, again, I think Mark Goddard got it right.
The only thing I would say is, I don't know, he hadn't seen it back at the stage that he spoke to me afterwards. I don't know whether he thought that it was similar to the one that he'd done in round three that wasn't, a proper spike. Maybe he thought that it was something like that. But from then on, he just looked completely distracted. And when you said about he carried on talking to the ref, I went back and listened to that, tried to get the sound up on it. And I think it was Webb's corner were complaining about the elbows that he was throwing from the bottom. And he was talking to Mark Goddard and saying, what about these elbows? And Mark was saying, I haven't said anything, fight on.
I think he told him to fuck off at one point as well.
Did he?
Yeah, it was about the elbow. He was telling him to put them in at an angle rather than 12-6. He's like, I fucking am, fuck off.
Jesus.
But it was the end of the fight. I noticed when Mark went up to talk to him, you could see he was really frustrated. And then Mark went to the cage door and said to the corner, have a word with him. I just thought Mark should have maybe just left him alone, because he just to try and let him calm down, because I thought that wound him up even more, and the corner, because Mark started arguing with the corner as well. And then I think when Mark realised when they were putting out the scores it was going to be a draw, he just went straight out of the cage.
Yeah, that was funny, mate. That was exit stage left, wasn't it? He wasn't funny there.
He was straight out. It's not his fault.
At least he had a quiet night after that, though, eh? At least he could just relax for the rest of the evening.
But the thing was, I'm looking forward to the rematch. That was fight of the night for me. Absolutely.
I loved it.
Fredericks, five times... He was in full mount on him, and he just pushed himself off and
just
got out.
Powered out.
And
just
got out.
Power.
It was unbelievable.
When Webb had his back as well, I've never seen anyone. Normally, when Webb's got your back, it's good night, Vienna. I can't honestly say how impressed I was with Frederick, but it's really interesting hearing how different people have scored the fight. How did you score it, Kerry?
It's really funny. I actually wouldn't want to score that fight. I would definitely have given it slightly to Webb, but it was so back and forth, you know, between the striking, the transitions on the ground. I mean, literally so back and forth the entire time. Although I do have to say, as a person that I do want to take the ABC course, and if somebody disregarded my call, you know, not once, twice, and then disrespected me, yeah, no, it would be a problem. Absolutely. And I would not give a shit what the fuck you have something to say. That's fine. But there's a respect level you have to have for the referee. Have to. It's their job to keep you safe. It's their job to make that call. And they shouldn't care what your corner says, and they shouldn't care what the fighter says or the commission. Their job is fighter safety. That's it. End of story.
Yeah.
See, when I watch a fight, I don't watch it like a judge. I just kind of have an
instinct. I watch it from an official perspective.
Yeah. No, I just have an instinct. And when he got that point deducted, I thought this could be a draw. But then when Katie was moaning, oh, no, I think Webb is winning, blah, blah, blah. I watched it again today. Thought that I watch it like a judge. And I still think a draw was a fair result. I think he would have won it if he wasn't for the point deduction. I thought the judges were no bad. I think one judge did have it a bit off, didn't he?
One judge had Webb winning 4-1, and then the point.
The best for draws, the best for 47-47. So, but Webb, when you
I think I would have scored it 48-46 to Webb.
I think the difference was Webb, when you did get full mount, he just tried to hold him. He wasn't doing enough damage.
Mm.
But you can't blame him either, because he was just getting pushed off full mount quite easily. So when you get him back into full mount, you think, well, I can't go for an elbow because he's just going to push me off. But it's a hard one, but he took
some fucking massive knees as well. And at the end of the second round, Jesus, I was like, there were a couple of times, and I think it was round three, where there was just a flurry from Frederick, and Webb went for the takedown, and then he was on the ground, and Frederick was ground and pounding him on the ground, and I was thinking, shit, this is the end, he's going to get finished. And then the next minute, he had Frederick's back, and he had him in a choke, and I was like, oh my God, he's going to get the submission. It was just, it was an awesome, awesome fight. And another one, we might get to see the rematch.
Yeah, it's actually one of those fights, if they gave it to Webb, I wouldn't have argued about it. I thought, okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those that could have went either way. And I can't wait for the rematch either. I don't know if Webb wants a rematch, because that guy was like the Undertaker. Not only did he tombstone him, he just rise up like the dead. Like he wasn't even on them. It was crazy strength, man. Should we go on about moaning about paying the UFC for 239, I would pay to watch that rematch, and same with Houston Dalby. I would pay for a local Cage Warriors card, a 5 or 10er. I'm not paying, please, Graham. Yeah, I'm not saying they should do that, but I'm not paying for a UFC event.
I'm already paying for Fight Pass, thanks.
You can edit that bit out, can't you, Katie? Come on, quick.
But I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to pay to watch somebody on drugs beat somebody up at 3 a.m. when I can watch pure up and coming, the best talent the UK's got.
And if
Cage Warrior said, look, you pay us £5 to watch this, and it goes to the fighters, I would do it.
Well, Peter's the only one, Graham, so definitely don't take his advice.
That's five Scottish pounds.
Exactly. You won't take it, Scottish money.
And he's bullshitting. He'd stream it for free anyway.
But anybody wants to watch 239 for free, just message me and I'll send you a link in the morning.
Oh my God, not the
fuck the USC.
I wonder why our page is getting shut down.
Just before this, you said you just lost 300,000 likes or whatever else, and then now I'm figuring it all out, mate.
It's all becoming clear, isn't it? There were so many good fights on this card. I don't know if we want to go into great detail about all of them, but the Jack Grant Jai Herbert fight was another awesome fight. What did you guys make of that one?
He's getting a phone call.
You better take this, Ryan.
That's Graham Boylan. Send me a bag. I thought that was another top level fight. Those two have been on an unbelievable tear. They look so good. They're so talented. I think the performance Jai Herbert did in that fight, because Jack Grant is no joke. Jack Grant is so good. He trains at an amazing camp. He's still up there at AVT. So you've got Ricardo Franco, Mark Diakese, Danny Mitchell in his corner. He's grown and grown as a fighter since his loss to Jack McGann and back at, was it Bama 25 or 22 or something, where he got nasty knockout. He's rebuilt himself from that and he's looked phenomenal on the ground in particular. But Herbert was just spectacular. I thought his timing, his range, his choice of shots, even that last combination, he doesn't throw the same shot twice. Does not throw the same shot twice. And that was a difference for me. And people complained that was an early stoppage, but not at all. You didn't see any complaints from Jack Grant. And I know some of his teammates in his corner, and none of them were upset. They knew that he was getting hit hard and getting lit up in there. So he's got to work on his head movement. He'll be back. That's the only hole in his game. If he can get hit. He's such a straight line fighter. When he gets you on the ground, he's like an octopus. But standing upright, he's his head's always in the same place. And Herbert, his movement was great. His takedown defense was great. And I thought it was superb. It was really good.
He did look superb. So the number one contender in that division is Mason Jones. Or Lewis Mason, as I accidentally called him in an interview. So sorry about that again, Mason. Do we think, though, that Mason is going to get the next title shot? Because it seems like Cage Warriors want to build him into such a massive star, kind of the next Jack Shore, that I think they want to take things slowly with him. I don't think they want to rush. What do you think?
Who are you going for?
Peter?
Me? Well, I was going to say to Brian, they might, because the rumour was before tonight, two people might get a UFC call-up. And looking at his performance, I thought Herbert and his record was a 9-1. He's on a 5-win streak. They might ship him off to the UFC, which would open up the division as well.
It's such a packed division in the UFC, though, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, but they were talking about two people getting the call-up. And Cage Warriors always brag about your champions get a call-up. I'm expecting at least one of them to get a call-up. And to me, Herbert was performance of the night. It was slick. It was perfect. And I think he deserves a shot.
I think he's good. I think his only loss, though, is Reese McKee. And Reese McKee spoke to me when I was up in Preston. And he had his eye on that fight. Reese McKee's obviously now two-fight win streak in Cage Warriors. Two finishes as well. Looking good. He's marketable. He's a good speaker. He sells a fight. So that I know they fought way back when. When did they fight?
Has he not moved to 170 though, Brian?
He's got his eye on that. He's got his eye on that fight.
Wow.
He said that's he's a big boy. I saw him this weekend. He is a big boy, but he said he had his eye on that fight. And obviously, when you've got a win over somebody, that can open up doors. So I wouldn't say that it's without beyond the realms of possibility.
So do you think anybody will get a UFC call-up for Cage Warriors, Brian, from what you watch?
It's difficult. Jai Herbert's the top of the list from that show, I think so. I think Jack Grant was in talks with him, and depending on what happened, that could have gone that way. So you'd think maybe Jai Herbert will get a call, but we'll wait and see. He's the one that, off the back of that, with that clean finish, was stands in the best place, I think.
Yeah, I think he's only had, he's 9-1. There's only one fight ever went to decision. So it's what Dana likes as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
like
right. People that's
going
true.
For, doesn't he like people going for takedowns with 10 seconds to go? But so he's not going to have that issue with Herbert.
I wonder who you're referring to. So one more fight I wanted to touch upon before we move on was Dean Truman versus Mads Burnell. Dean is someone like he's had online battles back and forth with Corin Eaton. So I, in the past, have not wanted him to do well, but he actually was looking so great in that fight. He was looking so great. And Mads is just mad as a box of frogs. And he just took that submission so cleanly, but it was awful to see Dean's reaction to that, because I think he thought he was going to the UFC if he defended his belt there.
Yeah, I agree. I think you could see by how upset he was. And I think going with the corner with Dan Hardy and all that sort of stuff, when you're coming from that team, there's got to always be the thought, the inspiration of that's the path I'm going on. And he's grown into such a good fighter, Dean Truman. Look at his career. He really has worked hard to become the fighter he is. And I thought he looked good. He was hitting hard. He was throwing some good spinning, striking attacks. But I thought Mads Barella on the ground was phenomenal. I thought, even the way he described it, I work when you work, and that gives me my openings. That's a huge understanding of what to do on the ground. And that finish in particular, the way it was, like the neck crank arm, guillotine, whatever you want to call it, it was the speed at which you saw
Japanese
Dean Truman
necktie.
Was that what it was? Is that what he's claimed it as?
Apparently so.
That shows how painful that was as well, the speed at which he tapped. But I thought, you've got to love Mads. That was at their mum's birthday. It's the first part of their interview. That's going to win. That's going to win in my eyes.
It's going to be hard for him to get back to the UFC for the same reasons, though, right? He's obviously only just got cut last year. I thought it was a bit of a harsh cut, to be honest, because he was beating Arnold Allen up until he got caught with a submission right at the end.
How many fighters have been cut and got back in? I think Chris the other week said there was one that he knew of, but it doesn't happen very often, does it?
No.
I know Robert Whiteford got cut. He attempted his way back. Norman Park, they all said that a few fights and they'll be straight back in, but it's not an easy task. Maybe that's why Brendan is not getting back into the Contender Series, because he was in the Ultimate Fighter as well, so... Maybe that stems from there. I don't know.
Kerry, what did you make of that fight?
You know, it was funny because I was telling you guys with the storm yesterday, so my internet was in and out. But what I did catch was the Japanese necktie. I caught the end of it, and I was really, really excited to see that. You don't see that too often. So that was a really great fight, but I didn't get to catch all of it, and I don't want to talk too much about what I didn't get to catch.
That's well worth going back and having another look.
I've been trying to rewatch it, and literally, like, I can't catch it. Internet, it's terrible today, but I caught enough of it.
You say that Truman looked good on his feet, didn't he? He had some great leg kicks and all that, didn't he? And some big knees.
He looked strong. He looked strong. He looked loose as well. He looked really comfortable in there. He just got it when he was on the ground. That was the difference.
Yeah.
And I thought the
difference is probably the experience. Because Mads just fought at the top level. He might not have done much at the top level, but that experience, you win or you learn. So that's obviously helped him.
Yeah. It's just really hard to see someone that close to their dream and how gutted they are that they just slightly fell short. Especially as he was doing so well up until then. But anyway, as I said, I could talk about Cage Warriors all night, but let's move on. Some other things have been happening in MMA.
Actually, Brian, did you watch Bellator London the weekend before?
I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it, mate. I was travelling, so...
If you could compare Bellator to Cage Warriors... I enjoyed it. I'm not asking you to choose one. I'm just saying I enjoyed both of them. And I think both can co-survive, but there does seem to be a Bellator versus Cage Warriors battle.
There's definitely set out to go head to head, as it were. You can tell that's what Bellator's plan is, to try and take on Cage Warriors and stifle what they're doing. And Cage Warriors see Bellator as Bama still, so they still see them as that. So there's all that going back and forth. I only caught a little glimpse of some of the social media stuff going between some of the two players in each field, but. That's going to be fun for us to watch. If we're on the sidelines, sitting on the fence like I am nicely right now, then as people who like to switch Twitter on and see things kick off, then that's going to be fun. Every time shows go head-to-head, that's going to be good.
It's with Bellator, it's just down to whether you actually get to see it or not, unless you're in the arena.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We had to watch three different TV channels to watch it, and they left out three big UK fights, which would appeal to UK fans.
That's the big hole they've got to fix. They've got to fix out how they deliver it to this market. If it's Bellator Europe, they've got to deliver it as Bellator Europe. They've got to make it easy for us to follow. Like Fabian is obviously their biggest star from the UK, and they've got to make it easy for us just to latch on to people like that, because that's what grows their brand. And if they are a franchise, if they are a section of Bellator and they want it to do as well as it does everywhere else in the world, then they've just got to get that bit right. That they've got the production, they got a load of fighters now. They've signed over 30 UK European fighters, so they've just got to fix how they they give it to the customer, and that'll change. When the fans find it easy to watch, we watch it. We love it. We love content. But if we struggle for it, if we have to go through three or four different platforms, and then we're not sure if we have to pay for that one or that what the times will be, it's not clear, then all of us give up and we'll watch it on a restream feed or a special site a little bit later.
Special site. I think they're for something else, Brian.
I wouldn't know, Katie. Spend a lot of time in hotel rooms. All I do is read, all right?
Peter, have we got any questions?
Well, we had a few Facebook issues, but the feed I've been mainly on YouTube, but it is now on Facebook. There's somebody called Daniel Alexander likes you, Katie, because you're common, but...
Hey, listen, actually, before we crack on with that, can we just congratulate Katie on getting her blue belt as well? That is absolutely yours.
Congratulations.
That gave me such a big smile. So whoever's just called you common, shut up, because she'll tie you up in a Japanese necktie herself, all right? But seriously,
you,
congratulations. That was awesome, and that is a massive achievement. And yeah, well impressed with the way they gave it. Did you know they were wrapping the belt on you while they were doing it? Or
No. I actually, like, I'm glad I didn't give up now, because I just thought, why is he being such a bastard
so mean
to me? Like, he's obviously a black belt. If he doesn't want me to move, then I'm not going to be able to move. But I don't really see what I'm learning from, just not being able to do anything.
I love that that's your thought process under there. What's he doing? I'm not learning anything here. This is. But you got your blue belt, so that is awesome. Congratulations.
How long did that take?
A couple of years. I thought you meant the round.
No. I know a website where you can buy a UFC black belt.
Yeah, well, I feel like I've got more of a sense of achievement from actually learning it from my jiu-jitsu coach is actually James Webb's jiu-jitsu coach, and he was in his corner on Saturday, so I got to see him again on Saturday. But so yeah, that might be why the guy online's calling me biased. I had a bit of hate for one of my interviews, Brian. Somebody said that I was biased and hypocritical, and MMA UK should get rid of me, and I'm common as, and I can't remember what the other thing was.
And I'm guessing you've lost.
If you can find somebody with bigger tits, then I can get rid of you. But until then,
honestly,
sexual
mate.
Harassment in the workplace.
Are you playing the session, look?
I'm sunburned and embarrassed for me. Jesus Christ. Zip your Superman thing up and. Yeah, but listen, you're gonna get that. Don't sweat it. If you're out there doing this stuff, a lot of people that will write that sort of crap. So don't lose any sleep. And when you see him, choke him out.
Hey,
he
watched
right?
it.
You gotta troll the trolls, Katie. You gotta troll the trolls.
I've actually said to the staff before, like Katie and Lewis is another one. Did sometimes read the comments when they do an interview and you get a few negative ones. Ignore it or use it to drive you on it.
Yeah.
Don't reply to it. Just let them say what they want. If they're really bad, we can delete them. But don't get in an argument with them, because that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So either use it to drive you, even get to your goals.
You told me to reply.
or get me to reply and I'll fuck them up. So.
I'll reply. I love fucking the internet trolls. That's my favorite. Like, I break out my gloves and I'm like, yep, championship rounds. Here we go. Let's do it.
So Peter, did we have any questions before we move on to the UFC?
No, that guy, Daniel Alexander, he just said Katie Hunter, best news. He shared it. He said Paul Daly won his last fight, which was an impressive win for Paul Daly.
That was vintage Paul Daly. That was awesome to see him back like that.
Will it be the same Paul Daly? Will we see? But yeah, that was perfect. And that put him back in the running to have another run at it. So that's all it was. It was nothing bad.
I think if he's getting on and he thinks, I don't know where his head's at in terms of whether he wants to go on another title run or not. But I would be really pleased if Bellator just matched him with people that matched up well with him, you know, who wanted the same thing. I'm bored of seeing him. We all know now there's a blueprint to beating him. A wrestler can take him down and lay on him. And I know it's MMA and you've got to be good at everything, but for... the age that Paul Daly is, I don't think he's going to change. And when he's vintage Paul Daly like that, I bloody love it. There's nobody that I love, that spinning back elbow, them left hooks. Like, he literally is one of the people that just makes me so excited about MMA. And seeing him doing the commentary and stuff now as well, like, I just think it would be nice if for the twilight of his career, he got, like, some really great matchups.
Katie, do you think he regrets his tactics against MVP, like, the first round when he didn't really want nothing? And well, especially seeing what happened to MVP in his last fight, do you think he might think, oh, I should have went for it a bit more?
Well, I saw the media scrum that he did after, that Lewis recorded for us, and he was really honest about it, and he said, I'm not really looking for the MVP rematch anymore because I just think stylistically we're a bad matchup. I can't go out and perform like that because of the way that he fights. I've got to be tactical. And as much as we don't like each other, and it's a good story from that point of view, actually in the cage, it's a boring fight for the fans. And I'm sorry, but I'd have to fight like that again if we met again. So that was what put it in my head. Maybe we don't want to see, you know, him. You know, if he can go on another title run, good for him. But if not, that's what I would like to see from him.
We've got a couple of comments on YouTube as well. We've got some numpty called Frankie Anderson saying Mads Burnell shouldn't have been cut from the UFC. Darren Hayes, UKFC was brilliant, Brian.
UKFC was amazing. I can talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that next.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Brian, how was the crowd and all that? Because obviously with Cage Warrior the same night, did that affect the atmosphere?
Let's I'm going to give a massive shout out to the people that run UKFC. There's a guy called Steve Nightingale who runs the Reps Gym. He's got a lot of fighters that go in there. Jake Cross, Rob Freeman, Aaron AB, Aaron Woodward. They all had to turn that event around from the Guild Hall. Now, the Guild Hall is it's one of the best small venues I've seen for MMA shows. It's like a little coliseum. It gives amateur fighters the feel of a professional show. The way they look after the fighters is amazing. But that venue closed, so they had like a week and a half to switch it, and they ended up in a nightclub in Guildford, in Preston. Called Evoke, and they made it look awesome. The crowd that were there were decent enough. I think they had almost 1,000 people packed into there, and the fights they put on were unreal. That was my third UKFC. The other two have been in that Guildhall Arena. This one, the people came out to support it, and again they put on just ridiculous fights. They only had two pro fights this time. Usually they have three or four at the top of the card. But they had 22 amateur fights, and there was some just ridiculous performances. There's a young kid called Teddy Stringer, who would be a really, he's 18 or 19 years old, beat a really solid wrestler called Aftab Javed from up there. There's another guy called Sheldon Ryan, took on Jenks. Both got gyms very close to each other. They both know each other. There's loads of heat before it. I think he finished the fight in about 45 seconds, just would not be denied, came out. Big overhand right, really put on a great performance. Then we had the pros, which Connor Hitchens took on Mark Andrew. Now, if you know Mark Andrew, he's from Rodney Moore's gym, Next Generation, Northern Ireland. And he's amazing. His record was 1-4, but he's been in there with some, like, he's never been taken an easy fight. And Connor Hitchens has looked phenomenal. He's won numerous amateur titles. And then on top of that, he's held six titles in other promotions as well. So he went in there and he hit him with his body kick that just shut him down, and then finished it with some amazing strikes. So the fights were unbelievable. But the story of the whole event for me was the main event. There was a guy called Wilbert Popper who came all the way from Spain. Now, he's got a Peruvian passport and he was flying over here to fight Alex Valiandes, who's I think he's 5-0 as a pro. Comes from IPC gym, so from the Aaron AB gym over there. But Wilbert Popper, the day he was supposed to get here, because he's got a Peruvian passport, he didn't realise he needed a visa to come to the UK because he lives in Spain. God. So he's got a Spanish document. So his sister, who was travelling with him, had to get on the plane. So his sister flew to Preston, or to Manchester, and then got to Preston all by herself. The only way that the guy spent so long trying to figure out how he could get there, not looking for a way out of the fight, the only way that they'd let him travel is if his mother travelled with him. So his mother had to come out of work, literally take a day off work, bring her passport, bring all these documents, get on a plane. So after he's had his weight cut and all this stuff, he had to make this journey with his mum. His sister's impressed him on her own. They all make it over there as a family, and he's the underdog. He's a massive underdog against this Valiandez. And he just put on this mightiful performance, which, like, as you call it, the crowd are all for Valiandez. But by the end of it, there was a bit of both. And just the fact that he, as a fighter, he paid for his own flights to get there as well the second time. He said, I've signed to fight. I'm not letting them down. And wow. He jumped on the plane, and then to claim victory in spite of all of that was something special. So that little show, that UKFC, is getting bigger and bigger. They're a little knocked because of the venue, but something special happens up there. The gyms put their good guys against good guys. You get Aspire taking their best guys to face off against the best ones in reps, the best ones at all powers. So you don't get people shy of matchmaking up there. So what you see is true talent. And if you haven't been to one, Kate, you got to go to one. You just got to go and witness it because
when's the next one, Brian?
I think October 5th they're doing it again. So I think October 5th. Hopefully we'll be back in the Guildhall. They're trying to fix that. But it's one of those, like, especially when you do like some of the big arena shows and things like that, you get a little bit, you see all the big lights or whatever. But when you see young 18, 19, 20-year-olds right at the start of their journey and how good they are now. There's one guy in particular. There's one guy called Zach Miller. I think it was his first or second MMA fight. And he, like, I guarantee you, in 2 years' time, we'll hear more stuff about him. He is amazing. His boxing was unreal. His ground game was really good. Actually finished it. He's a stand-up fighter by trade, but his ground game is coming on. Finished it by rear naked choke. And for me, he was one to watch. That and Conor Hitchens taking the co-main event as well just made it like a really special night after all the stuff that had gone on with the venue moving and just being in a little nightclub in Preston. It was all taken away just by the quality of fights they put on. It was really good.
That's amazing.
Oh, so if anybody wants to check out the results, Frankie published them. I actually was going to drop them a message, but they still haven't read my message from a year ago, so I didn't bother. So whoever runs it, check your Facebook messages, because I actually sent them a link. So every time you've got a show...
Right, Aaron Woodward, I'll give him a personal nudge, mate, over there. I'll give him a personal... I'll give a couple of shout-outs to a couple of the other fighters as well. Because I went up there, they look after you so well. I got taken off the train, they picked me up straight from the station. They took me straight to the gym. They got me strangled by about 13 of their deadliest ninjas. So we're all hot and sweaty. Then they took me for waffles, and then they took me for a little tour of Preston. So they look after you out there. But the lads like James McQueen and Lee Miller from Reps Gym got wins as well. And there's one other lad who lost his fight. He fought Jamie Hayes, who fought for a title before that. And this young lad called Dave Hussein. He's another one, which he's just an exciting fighter. Do you know, like the Ricardo Franco ilk, the Nathan Hayward just loves to fight, loves to train, loves to get in there, and he's one to watch as well. So plenty of talent and good fun. So if you can come and see UKFC, check it out.
Yeah, if it was up to me, we would cover every single show, but it's near impossible with the amount of shows on. But we do, if we can't make it, we've all published results. If they want to send us the results, we'll create an article and we'll get that out in their network. And that's what I attempted with them before, but they didn't even read my message. But Frankie got the results off the Facebook page and published them anyway. But so if we are struggling to send, because I don't, there's not many outlets who can cover one show, let alone two, three shows in a night. But we have done it, and we will. I'm still recruiting people. So if there's people in any kind of areas, we'll send you to events and all that. So just drop us a message.
I got to say as well, this is my first time back on MMA UK for a long time. So this is where I started doing my stuff with Pete. You sent me a message when I first started my first podcast.
Yeah, podcast.
Stand Up, Throw Down, just talking to comedians about that. And from there, then you helped me. You literally guided me through the early bits. So I was always wondering about getting into media and doing all that sort of stuff. And it was your help, and also just helping getting a few more listens, a few more views, a few more likes on through via your page. That was a real, it wasn't just a stepping stone. It was literally the path I took to get into MMA. And suddenly, like, from just doing a podcast, sat in my own in a bedroom with a microphone, balancing it on books just because I didn't have a microphone stand and all that crap you have to do when you're starting out, to doing big shows and meeting yeah, amazing people in MMA. That's all starts. If people are interested, this is a way to do it. You're doing it as well, Katie. You're getting yourself out there to do this sort of stuff. If you've got a passion for it and you like to do it, there are ways to do it. And it's good to link up with something like MMA UK. You can get you into some of the shows, can help guide you through it, read a few of your articles, give you a bit of guidance and give you a little platform to get yourself out there. So it's well worth it.
Well, we actually use you as an example, Brian, when people say, right, what can... No, I say, look at Brian now. He's a commentator for ABC. So, is it ABC now? I don't know what the
two are named to. ACB, EFC, UFC, UKFC. Whamma, Bama, Mama, Crammer. I'm an MMA slut. That's what I am, mate. That's what I am. That's what you've turned me into. You pimp me out and look at me using my ass now. That's what's happened.
Yeah. No, but as I say, we've got a lot of success stories. People went to MMA Junkie. Look at Lewis. He's now with MMA Wales. No, MMA Wales. Wales Online, sorry.
Online.
And he does that for a career now. And I'll take the credit for Tom Hefferman, even though he's at the Daily Record. I know it's not a great paper, but I'm going to take the credit for that baldy bugger as well. But no, we've had a lot. Like James, he's getting paid £50 to talk in the radio, BBC radio and stuff. I've had BBC contacting me about streaming MMA events in Scotland and all that. Like 5 years ago when I started, I thought I could never imagine this being what it is. But
I could never imagine being sat on my couch in my Superman onesie at 9 o'clock at night talking to these pricks. I could only dream of a moment like this, mate. You made it happen. Dreams come true, Peter Knox. Dreams come true, no. All right?
But no, yeah, so... As you say, we're just passionate. We try to get everything. We'll push anybody local. I actually prefer pushing local fighters and getting them on. But we're getting there. It's all good.
Well, so speaking of pushing local promotions, I'm at Fight Star this weekend.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's a show that makes me super excited about all the youth that are coming through and just, you know, that they had 16-year-olds on their show last time, same as we've had at Rock before. And it's actually Brian Vadimus Gazutis who fought at Rock when you were commentating, the guy that took the head kick, the 16-year-old who took the head kick and then won by armbar. He fought last Fight Star. It's just a really awesome promotion, and it's going to be Emrah Sonmez's comeback fight. He got injured last May, ligaments in his knee. It's going to be his first fight back. He's co-main.
Is Luke Trainer on that one again?
He's not on this card, but he was on the last one. Hoping to see him back soon. But yeah, Emrah, that is, if I could tell you one person to look out for in the next 12 months,
And there's still tickets available as well, Katie. There's still tickets available if people want to just
I'm sure there are. I'll get the link, yeah.
Cage Steel as well, the weekend after you're going to as well, another big show.
Yeah, headlined by John McGuire and Sam Bolt.
And, they've
sold over 4,000 tickets for that event. It's going to be electric.
And Danny Mitchell, the Cheesecake Assassin, is returning.
Cheesecake Assassin.
That's right, he's coming back. He's bare knuckle boxing on it. It's awesome. He's going to have his first bare knuckle boxing fight. So I think there's two cards. There's an undercard, which will be like 20 fights. Load of amateurs in the up and comers on the morning card, and it'll kick off again in the afternoon with another 19 fights, I think. So that'll mainly be.
Kiki's going to interview everybody.
Super. I'll see you there, Katie. I'll be there, Katie. All right?
Oh, wicked.
I'll be there.
A reunion then.
We'll have a role as well. Let's do that.
Katie, Brian can help you. Brian can help you with some of the interviews. Awesome. 40-odd interviews there.
Brian, are you commentating then? Are you commentating on all 42 fights?
I'm not commentating on all 42, so they've separated the card, and me and Luke will be, the big slow, will be commentating on the main card. We'll be there from the afternoon. But I'm going to be there all day. I'm going to come and watch the undercard as well. But it looks awesome. The Cage Steel usually are at the Doncaster Dome. They've stepped up, and they've always dreamed of getting into a bigger venue. They've got some amazing fights on there as well. The main event is awesome. John McGuire versus Sam Bolt is if you are into MMA grappling at all, that is going to be an absolute two octopuses going at each other and two exciting human beings as well, two nice people. But all the way through the card, it's really good. So yeah, I'll be there all day, but I'm commentating with Luke Barnett on the main card into the evening. So yeah.
Brian, just a question there, because there's obviously like 40 odd fights, but like when you've done ACA, well, it was ACB at the time, like I'll use Glasgow as an example because we're both there. That was the first show I was at where as soon as the fight ended, they started the ring walks for the next people. There was no break. But it was okay for me because I could just fuck off and go for a piss. What did you do? Did you have a bottle under the table or what? Because you couldn't go anywhere.
Mate,
what happened when you wanted a piss?
Mate, through working for ACB as it used to be, I have now, my sprints have got up. I can do 100 metres in about 10-2 now. 10-2. But yeah, that's where it has to be. So we have a little tag team. So what will happen is, if you want the actual inside info of how I have a piss at ACA. So when the fights, I'm going to do the intros because I do all the interviews with the fighters. I know all about the background and stuff. Whoever I'm commentating with, I'll do that and they'll go for a piss during that bit so I can feel that bit. And then as soon as the fight starts, just before the referee brings them together and they bring the tail of the tape, I drop my headset, I leg it, find the nearest pisser, barge everyone out of the way. Literally had to fight my way into a urinal before, which in Tajikistan is harder than it sounds. And then I have to get back before the fight's properly kicked off. So, yeah, that's the glamorous side of commentating.
I'm glad I got to learn that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very careful about what I eat the night before as well, because what I don't need to do
is shit yourself.
Right, you finish it. I left it. You just, yeah. Excuse the pun, but dump it out there. Nice.
Kerry, have you got any shows coming up?
PFL 4 in Atlantic City, and then the week after PFL 5. So it's been a nice, you know, week and a half break from Bellator 222 when I start this back up. So it should be really, really cool. PFL, they put on a great show. I can't, you know, speak highly enough of them. When you get them catering for the press, that's kind of cool too, because I've never been to a promotion that takes care of us the way that they do. If I could give them any advice, it's to fix their PA system. But I think that's the venue more than them. I think that's the Coliseum and it's their problem. But it's a great, great couple cards they have coming up. And then, you know, off to their playoff season. So, which I'm pretty sure is going to be in Vegas, which should be a lot of fun because I'm going to go to that.
Nice.
Yes. And one day I'm going to make it to hang out with you guys.
Oh, I hope so. I think one we're going to meet in Glasgow, so you get the full experience.
I'm down for that. Wherever you guys tell me to go, I'll be there.
No, decent strip clubs in Glasgow, so you're more than welcome.
Yes. just what I look for in a night out. How did you know?
Well, that's what you get with MMA shows in Scotland. Discounts for the nearest strip club. That's what they offer you.
Fair play. I'd rather have a free drink, but I can live with that.
I got thrown out for taking photographs. It's the first time in a strip club. I thought, yes, I need to take some photographs to show the MMA UK banter group that we've got going on, and the bouncer nearly threw me out. Delete that photo. And I'm like, what, this one of your wife? But that didn't go down well either. But...
I can't believe you didn't know you wouldn't be allowed photos in
the strip club. I'm not a perv. It was Frankie Anderson's fault.
You sound like a perv. You were taking photos of the naked women without their consent.
So did Amy. Amy was taking pictures and she didn't get stopped because she...
Well, because she's a female. I'm going to definitely throw that out. She uses the female card and they don't care. Like, oh, it's fine. She could have that.
Well, this actually sounds like the perfect note to end on. Actually,
Katie, I would like to just have a wee word on Bear Jew because we had a Scottish fighter in the UFC.
Oh, sorry. And, yeah. Go on.
Obviously, it's not been a great year for Scottish MMA, but obviously, I'd like to know what Brian thought of Bear Jew's performance. But I think Paul himself will admit to making a couple of mistakes there. I just thought what Brian thought.
Listen, first of all, Paul Craig is an absolute legend. Like that man, what he's done for Scottish MMA. Also, let's jump back to when before he was a full-time fighter, which most of his career he hasn't been. He worked for a company called Skillforce, which helps hard to help young people and inspired them. And while he was training and doing all that, he was helping those young people and teaching and doing all that, he was training and making his path as an MMA fighter. On top of that, he is one of the most generous people with their time as far as media, and a quality interview. He's not just, he brings it every single time. And you look at what the UFC have given him. And I saw his coach, Brian Gallacher, he put up all of his opponents have a record of 53-3 or something like that. So that says he's always going up against undefeated fighters. They're always putting him up against these absolute monsters. And this is MMA. And I thought he was looking pretty good to start with. He just got a bit hungry with that spinning attack. And when he got caught, I mean, that guy, first of all, he is a beast. When he was just shrugging his shoulders and his pecs were bouncing around, that looked like Peter Knox was about to take photos of him. But honestly, I was like, what is... Because then I thought, oh, he must be short. And then I looked at the size of him. He's 6 foot. And I'm thinking, he's massive. He's a beast. He's an absolute beast. And if he hits anyone, if he hits an elephant, that elephant is going to sleep. So I think it was one little mistake that happened. And unfortunately, it's happened under a big spotlight. And again, the UFC, they just keep giving him these absolute monsters. And
why do you think that is?
I don't know. I saw him. He was out there in Scotland. I was out there in Russia. He was there with Mark Godbeer when he fought on ACA. And he was cornering him. And I was talking to him. And he said, I don't know why they keep doing it. He said, every time they send me a name, it's always a no against it. He's always like, that guy was 8-0. And I think he's got 7 first round finishes or something. But they always keep doing it. And do you know what? Like, I respect the way he fights because he sticks to his game. That last win... where he just kept going for that pulling guard and the trips and get going for some. It's awesome. It's a brave way of fighting, but he's saying this is my strength, and he's made it work so many times. But it's high risk. This time he was looking decent enough against a very heavy hitter. He just got caught when he threw that spinning attack again. Went to the mat, and then he got caught clean on the chin. That beard can look great, but it ain't going to stop power coming through like that. So for me, I hope that he gets another shot. I hope he has a little break as well. They've used him quite a lot recently. I hope he has a little rest. I hope he recovers, and the UFC see what value he has. Because if they do go back to Scotland, if they do come back to the UK, they need people like him who are marketable. His stare downs are money straight away. You see the way he gets in the face, the look he's got. He flies that flag so well. So I was gutted. I'm a massive Paul Craig fan, not just because of what he does in the cage, but him outside it. So my hopes are that he gets a little break, he gets a rest, gets time to recover. He'll shrug it off. He's got a good team. They're a fun team. Bungard, Gallacher, him, all the others in that gym. They'll help him get through it. But I've no doubt when the UFC give him another number, it'll be somebody else that is a monster. Says what they think of him a little bit as well, skills-wise. They know he's up there. But he's just had a very patchy run in the UFC. But yeah, massive fan and wish him all the best.
Yeah, well, that's 4 opponents in a row who are undefeated and had a combined record of 45-2. So that just shows you what he's up against. Just because you've not heard of them doesn't mean they're no monsters. They absolutely are. Tyson Pedro, I mean, getting people like that, it's crazy. Yeah. He must have got under the guy's skin as well, because when Herb Dean went to step it up, it reminded me of the Bisping Henderson first fight.
Oh, yeah, the guy he got,
I think, one punch too much there.
Yeah, but I think he was throwing that before the ref stepped in. I think that was more the ref trying. And also, look at the speed he was throwing him at as well. It's split seconds. There might have been a little bit of beef there from the stare downs or whatever, but that was much different from Dan Henderson. Not only slamming his forearm into Bisping, but then making it his logo for the rest of his life. So, monster.
And just before you do end it, Katie, the main event wasn't very quick either, in Ngannou and all that. And now there's talks of Dana might not give him a title shot, depending who wins the Cormier-Stipe match, because I think Stipe's already beat Francis. So, what's Kerry's thoughts on that, on the main event?
Yeah.
It was really fast. I was so upset. And honestly, like, I really, really, really thought it was going to go the other way. I mean, it could have gone either way. They're both monsters. They're both super talented. I could definitely see them giving Ngannou the title shot. I definitely think that would be, you know, deserved. I really would have loved to have seen it gone a little longer, but like, shit, man, that's a scary dude right there. Yeah. He's a scary motherfucker. Like, I would not. You offer me $1 million, I'll let you punch me in the face, but no.
But he made one mistake, didn't he? He just kind of overreached. He didn't have the distance right, and that was it. Out cold. I think Francis has earned a title shot. He had two bad losses. He's now done three in a row. He beat Kane. If you beat Kane, then you deserve a title shot.
I just think either of them are a bad matchup for him. I think the blueprint, Stipe's already laid it out, the blueprint of beating him is...
Yeah, yeah, I think DC would do the same. DC would aggress on to let him gas out as well.
But I still think he's the next in line. And I'm glad to see that he's recovered from that Derek Lewis fight. I was there live for that. And a fight has never gone less the way I expected it to go than that fight.
That was crazy.
The only reason I can think of is Dana won't commit to it. He's like, let the fight, see what happens. But maybe John Jones is going to come in the heavyweight picture.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I think he's always got something in the wings, something in his pocket that he's always waiting to, like, you know, fucking pull on all of us. And it happens all the time. I mean, you know, a lot of people are counting out the flyweight division, which I am pretty much, you know, sold on the fact that they're trying to get rid of it. But there wouldn't be, you know, outside of the realm of them putting on some crazy super fights. You know, so I you know how I feel about them.
Yeah. Hopefully not a super fight with Ngannou.
all the flyweights.
Yeah. Everybody.
Midget tossing.
I will pay for that. All the flyweights against Ngannou. Every single one of you, like the Royal Rumble, have to come into your walkout.
Royal Rumble, I love it.
There you go.
Well, may the best man win.
Throws you into the next state. That's right.
You'll see him like pulling little like, just like, like the little scrolls. That'll be the best like cartoon reel ever. Ever.
Oh, awesome. Well, yeah, so it's International Fight Week this week. BKK fighter and TriStar fighter Arnold Allen on the card against Gilbert Melendez. So good luck to him. Any other fights on that you're super looking forward to?
Is that the main fight on the prelims, isn't it? That's the
main event
on the prelims, isn't it? So, which is still free. There was a rumour that the prelims for us were on Box Office, but they're not. They are on BT Sports, so people will be able to watch that in the UK. And then it's up
to them to decide
if they're going to fork their money out or wait till the next day, and I'll send you a link and you can watch it for free.
There's the George Masvidal versus Askren fight. I mean, that's interesting just because of Askren's
first. That's going to be fun.
Oh, I can't call that one.
I think Masvidal's, like, I think they're underrating his wrestling and also his grappling. But Askren is a bit of a monster. Also, Luke Rockhold's in a weird spot. He's fighting Jan Blachowicz at light heavyweight for the first time. So he's moved up, aiming to try and get towards John Jones, which, let's face it, light heavyweight needs contenders. So, but if he loses to Blachowicz, who's difficult, then where's it leave him? I mean, if he's lost at light heavyweight, does he drop back to middleweight? Because he's out of the picture there now. He'll always be in and around, but he's got to work his way back into it. So I think that is a real tough fight for Rockhold in his first light heavyweight one. And but if he wins it, I think he's got the sort of athletic style and that sort of personality where you could really sell a fight. But I'm not sure if he'll go straight to John Jones or he'll have to earn it after a couple of other ones. But that Rockhold Blachowicz, I think there's a lot riding on Rockhold for this. If he loses it, he's in no man's land.
I'm interested to see how committed he still is as well, because he's obviously got a lot of other stuff going on with his modelling work, and you see him doing a lot of other stuff on social media. So I just wonder how much time he's putting into training and how focused he is on making light heavy work.
Sorry, on you go, Brian.
No, I was just going to say, I hope he, because I know he's training that hard knocks. And I know someone on the undercard, Ismail Nuradiev, who's the Austrian Wonder Boy, who's made a real storm since he got there. I know him. He's such a nice kid, and he's an absolute animal in the cage. He's on the card, and he's training with him. And I've seen that they've been doing separately doing quite a lot of work. So I'm hoping Rockhold's coming in good shape, because what I'd like to happen is Rockhold win this one so that he sets up the Anthony Smith fight, because they've been back and forth. And then from there, that sets him up for John Jones. So you want light heavyweight contenders, because at the minute, there's Thiago Santos, John Jones ones. Everyone, no, there's no hype. There's nothing, because everyone's just like, oh, John Jones is going to eat him up. He might not. He might get caught. Unlikely. But once Thiago Santos is gone, who's next? We haven't got anybody lined up. Smith just beat Gustafsson. If Gustafsson had won, would he have got another shot? Unlikely. Smith's way out of the realms. He got beaten handily by John Jones. So you look down there, and then you're looking at bringing people forward too quickly. So, like your Rakovic, and who's the one that broke his shoulder when he did the...
Oh, Johnny Walker.
I was just going to say Johnny Walker, yeah.
Then you got Johnny, but then you're pushing him too fast. So you need somebody Rockhold who's got experience.
Which always happened in the flyweight division with Mighty Mouse.
Horiguchi got pushed too fast. Yeah. You see, or even until it came all the way around, Cejudo was getting pushed a bit too fast when he jumped in there. So I think for the sake of contenders for that light heavyweight division, like, I'm not a massive fan of Rocco, but I think he needs to win this one, needs to fight Anthony Smith, and then we've got ourselves another contender for John Jones. So, yeah, we'll see.
So you think John Jones will go heavy while he's waiting for a contender?
I don't think John Jones will go. I think John Jones, like Michael Bisping, enjoyed being a thorn in the side that Rocco can never remove, because he's never going to fight him again. He's never going to get that loss back. That'll always be a highlight reel and the last taste in the mouth of either of them from that fight. I think John Jones knows that Cormier is happier at heavyweight. He's more dangerous at heavyweight, but all of his emotions and grief are at light heavyweight with John Jones. And John Jones doesn't have to give him that. And I don't think he will. I think he'll stay and do what he does. DC might, they might get a super fight for him. I don't know if Brock Lesnar will ever be on the table again, or if that Ngannou won. And then I think we'll see him disappear off into the distance, into that commentary world, which I think he's awesome at.
The Brock one's not happening. Dana said that as well. He's officially retired. He's not coming back.
Is he still in the USADA testing poll?
No, I think he's out of the testing poll.
You think they pay DC enough if he wins against Stipe to go back down for one more with Jones? I think they're going to do it.
I think it'd have to be DC going down. I don't think
No, it would be dollars and cents at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
DC deserves to have it on his own terms. He's done enough for both divisions to have it on his terms.
I wish that counted for anything. No, I agree. It doesn't. John Jones.
But then again, money talks. If Dana could get the money out, you might say DC go back down one. Because DC, what's he got? He's thinking of quitting already, isn't he? So he's not got many fights left. But I think if he offered the money, he'd fight anybody anyway.
Money talks.
Yeah, I think he would.
Really quick, does anybody think that Holly Holmes is going to beat Amanda Nunes?
No.
This will be really quick. No.
Yeah, me neither. I'm like, all right, we're glossing over it for a reason. I don't think anybody's going to beat Amanda Nunes anytime soon.
The best.
I mean, best.
It's insane.
I think if it goes by two rounds, then Holmes can pull it off. There you go. I smell an upset, Katie. You know what happens when I smell an upset?
Well, she could do it in that respect. In that respect, I could see it happening.
And she can take a punch as well. I know Nunes is a fucking
superhuman power.
Very dangerous.
No.
Yeah, she's gonna get chewed up and spit out.
It's got the potential to be like a real good stand-up war, because I don't think
it does.
Nunes might take it down for some ground and pound, but it's no.
She will. Yeah,
it's gonna be.
She's a great counter striker.
It's gonna be the best. I think that's gonna be. You're gonna see the best striking in show in that fight. It's gonna be violent and it's gonna be really good. Maybe might see a lot of blood.
That would be great.
Let's do that. But I think she just hits too hard. I think that even if it goes over five rounds, if Nunes is connecting. But Holly Holm is world-class as far as striking. She's very good. But I just think Nunes is different league. From her moment, she didn't even get the spotlight when she fought Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
So then knocking out Cyborg. That was unreal. The only question that I would have is, because she went up a weight class, and she did say she did party after that and enjoy being the champ, how's it been coming back down? But this is her natural weight. She's done this before. She's so good on the ground. And for me, it's Holly Holm's footwork and movement and kicks and all that are one thing, but power is truth.
Whole different ball game.
If you get hit hard, changes everything. Your footwork's mm-hmm. gone, you're shy, your gun's ready. So I think Holly's got to be really on her toes for the first couple of rounds for any chance, not get hit by any big strikes. But I just think it'll be a matter of time before Nunes hits her with one. Nunes is, lethal. So,
We've actually got a couple of questions coming in. One's about John Jones. Should John Jones fight against Stylebender in a super fight? Is that a possibility?
I can't see anything other than Stylebender getting destroyed.
Do you think that
size matters? That's it. I don't think they'll do it. I think I'm not sure the size of Stylebender. I don't know what his stats are compared to John Jones as far as physically. But I think he'd have to really make a slow move up to there to be a true light heavyweight. Jones ain't going down. He's too big, and they're not meeting their catch weight. It'll be no less than 205. So. Yeah, and I think John Jones it's difficult. I'd love to see it. I'd watch it, but I just don't think the MMA maths works.
No.
We've actually got another one for you, Brian. Having spent a lot of time working for what was ACB, which Eastern fighter should we look out for who hasn't broken into the Western market yet?
Okay, so there's a few, actually. So the ones that have broken into the Western market, they're doing really well. Peter Yan was our bantamweight champion. He's now storming the UFC. And Magomed Sharipov at 145 was our flyweight champion. He's destroying people out there. Yusuf Raisov is 22 years old, and I've never seen a more athletic, dedicated, dangerous human being. At that age, like, just so focused. And he's claimed two titles. He's claimed the featherweight, which title did he claim? Bantamweight title. He's now featherweight title. He's now chasing the lightweight title. So he's looking to be a champ. And another guy who I just think is one of the most marketable and fun fighters to watch is a guy called Edward Vartanian. So he's from Moscow. He's one of these fighters that he's born to fight. He's very athletic. He's very dedicated. But if you're a jiu-jitsu player, he'll fight your jiu-jitsu. If you're a striker, he'll strike with you. And I've seen him go to war so many times, get hurt and find something inside him to turn the fight around. So for me, Yusuf Raisov and Edward Vartanian are the standouts that I really enjoy watching and calling over there.
Brian, just a quick question about ACA now. Where can we watch the free on YouTube, or what's the latest?
So they do pay-per-view now, so they've done it, so they stream, because we had so many issues with Facebook. They used to do it on the Facebook and on the YouTube. Yeah. They had issues with music, and they kept getting brought down. And then on Facebook, somebody in Brazil kept claiming it was their feed, so that every show got taken down within the first. So they went through all sorts of legal stuff. So what they've done is set up a pay-per-view, but it's only $3. So it's $3 to watch the whole event. So that's what they do now, and that's the way they can keep it sort of clean. Afterwards, though, what I will tell you is the fights go up within a day. So if you want to watch them and you don't want to watch them live, then you can catch them on YouTube at the ACA YouTube channel. And they all go up in English and in Russian the day after. So if you can't wait, $3. If you can wait, you can check it out the following day.
I've actually got a question for you, Brian. I can't believe Katie or Kerry's not asked you this. But this is the greatest question in the world.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
If you could change one rule in MMA, what would you change? One rule.
One rule in MMA, what would I change? The 12 to 6, that is it.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
That's 12 what to I would 6. Say.
It's a ridiculous rule. You can get kicked, you can hit, run ahead with a baseball bat. Yeah. The angle of a shot, which you can change just by dropping it sideways or just putting a slight angle on it, yet there's still the same bone connecting with the same bone wherever you are in the body. So 12 to 6, yeah.
And then John Jones would be undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the other bit. And by the way, Luke's knockout was unreal. Absolutely unreal. So that man, he went through, so that was his last fight, ACA 92 or 93 in Poland. Took on a hometown fighter that he lost to it nearly a year to the day in a back and forth.
Demanded the fight,
got it. They weren't going to give it to him, but he got it. And he trained while his wife was pregnant. He left her alone the day before. Not many people know this. She was having a couple of issues after he'd made weight. So obviously there's that on his mind. Then he went in there and he was getting outstruck to start with. I was a bit worried. And then he laid that right hand. As soon as he settled and did him, he caught him with the right hand and beat Selinsky in a crazy knockout.
Beautiful.
The guy went to sleep. And the emotion, you could feel it. I was there and you could just feel it. It was a wonderful moment. Then he flies home and the next day he gets to see his baby daughter being born and gets to hold her in his arms. So, I love Big Slow.
Massive Big Slow. Congrats to him.
So we shared a lot of good times and I've seen him on journeys, the highs and the lows, but he's never been as dedicated. He's never been as driven and he's never wanted it more. And for it to come in that way, that was magical.
Being so, as actually, biased as I am. Go on, Peter.
Just you picked up on Jones about the 12-6 with Hamill. Obviously, Dana said he's working with the commission trying to overturn that decision. Mate, I know most people might agree with the decision, but we're not. Is that a bit risky? If they can overturn that one, could not just overturn any other result in the one as well?
Yeah, we don't need a time machine. Just leave it. Leave it be. Let's do it. It's
everyone
part of this
knows.
Thing. No, yeah, everyone knows what happened. All that stuff. Just leave it be. You're scratching a scab that doesn't need picking. Mm-hmm. And we all know how good John Jones is. None of us are sitting there every time he fights going, well, Matt Hamill beat him, are we, eh?
Well.
Do you remember how he defended that elbow with his face? None of us are doing that. So all you're doing, and I don't know, it won't affect his legacy because Mm-mm. he affects his legacy more than the records.
Yeah,
look at him driving into lampposts and
he's his own biggest
I was talking to you that night, Brian. Remember when they done the hit and run, remember? Oh, and then the news was filtering out, it was a pregnant woman. Oh, guess what? He ran back to get his wallet and stuff like that.
If you remember his wallet.
I love that it wasn't my wallet, it was my drugs. I needed to hide my drugs.
It was my cocaine.
He said it was his bowl. He said it was one of his favourite bowls. So, hilarious.
But talking about John Jones, we've got another question. And what are Brian's thoughts on fighters with a PED pass can never be classed as goats? Or do you need to be clean to be classed as that? I'm specifically talking Anderson Silva, John Jones, and Katie's favourite, TJ Dillashaw. Mm.
By the way, have you seen TJ Dillashaw?
Yeah, I'm with you, Katie. Fuck him hard.
Have you seen he's opened a juice bar in California called Clean Juice?
I was going to say, who wants to go there?
He's either the cleverest man on the planet or the stupidest. And I'm not sure which, but
I'm going with the latter.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think it definitely does affect legacy without a doubt, because it's a scab on it. It's a scar on it. And it's like Anderson Silva, when he popped after with his first drugs test, after being the GOAT, everyone kind of goes, okay. But it's difficult because people are always looking for an advantage. Being in the sport, you see people doing it. You see people getting off of it. You see the pressures that come with trying to stay at a top level, feeding your family and all that. So there is that. But if you're asking me point blank, does that affect them being the GOAT or can they not be the GOAT? For me, I think John Jones is different because he's never popped for anything. Has he popped for anything that is classed as performance enhancing, or is it was it cocaine? What was the one that he popped for?
Didn't
he pop for
Tyrannobol.
Picograms.
That kind of disappear and come back. So, yeah, it'll always be that. It'll always be a talking point. But that's their problem then, isn't it? They can do what they can
that's
have these amazing
me,
performances
GSP
in the cage.
Is the GOAT.
GSP is the GOAT.
I agree 420% with it. There's no, to me, there shouldn't even be a question. He's the only one, didn't get popped.
I like the fact you used 420 as a
you
percent.
Like that, right? Considering we just passed it.
Yeah, we just exactly. There you go.
You gotta pull that out quick and then people look at you and go, wait, did you just yes I did.
Yeah.
Does anybody think GSP will come back for one more fight?
Maybe
Khabib, Conor.
I do.
It depends if he gets off.
Habib, maybe. Habib,
money talks. Maybe. He'll do it for money and for Habib. I don't think anybody else really, to be honest.
Yeah, Habib would be one that I think he would but for him to jump back on his own terms, to leave on his own terms, and then to jump back on his own terms and claim the middleweight title of Bisping and then disappear again. And the way he did it, I think, he's the guy. There's no questions about him either. We're not talking about outside the cage and all that sort of stuff.
No, in general,
we talk about him as an athlete and in there. So, yeah, I think he's superb, an absolute legend.
He's okay when he's not intoxicated.
Michael. So is that the last of the questions, Peter?
Yeah, just apart from Chris Emmanuel asking, does clean juice ship to the UK? I want to support TJ.
Oh, God. Fuck that guy, Chris.
He's got some balls, isn't he?
And his coach. Fuck them all.
He's got some balls to do that.
Oh, mate. It's genius. I don't want to end this
talking about him. He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, he was at Bellator 222, and the best thing that I ever heard is that, like, you could hear the fans as soon as he goes into corner. I can't remember at the top of my head, but they're all going, EPO, EPO. It was fucking hysterical. Not even about the fight anymore, just about fucking TJ Dillashaw. It was awesome.
I don't even know why he was allowed to corner in that fight, because it was the same athletic commission that had banned him. So
I don't get it either.
Just poor shit. Insane. Poor shit. Another Bellator fuck up.
Yep.
Actually, I've got a question for Brian, because he's a commentator. We've not really spoken about commentating. So is there anybody you look up to, Brian, when you're commentating and go, that's what I want to be like? Or
do
you think the best is?
Joe Rogan is the one that's guided us through everything. Like, he's educated an absolute generation on that. He's one of the biggest reasons that this sport is as big as it is, because he's guided educated through the grappling realms. He's made it exciting and interesting. So I definitely look up to him. I think he's just superb. Also going from the comedy side as well, it's obviously inspirational. When somebody asked me this, I was at a bit of a middle point in comedy, and I was doing big clubs, and I was getting okay responses, and anyone else looking, you'd say that's you're doing great, you do that. But I knew I could do better, and I was speaking to somebody on a train with a comedian coming back, and he said you should pick somebody whose career you like. Doesn't mean you have to copy them, but you see the path that they've led. And he said, so who would that be? And I couldn't think. And I thought, that's really bad that I don't have one person in my head that I'm thinking, I wish I could do that. And then I got home and I just clicked. I went, it's Joe Rogan, isn't it? He does comedy, but he's found a way to add that to his other passion, which is martial arts. And then I just dialed in. I just literally thought, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to do whatever I can to get involved in this. But it doesn't have to be a job. Just want to be involved in it in some way. And all off the back of that one bad gig in Birmingham, one train journey, and then thinking Joe Rogan. So it's the easy answer, it's the obvious answer, but for me, it's very personal as well, because that's what actually made me then go buy it when my wife bought me a microphone for Christmas to go do the podcasts on. And then from there, it was just a case of just doing stuff with the sport. So yeah.
Have you still got time to do the stand-up?
So I still do stand-up, not as much because I travel a lot now, and it's a choice of whether I want to stay married or make strangers laugh. But so I used to gig, say, 6-7 times a week. Well, 6, it depends if you do two on a Friday and Saturday or not. But now, because I travel a lot, I get back, so I get to pick the gigs I want to do. So I'll probably gig 5-6 times a month. So I still do it, still get out there, still there. So try my luck at making people laugh, but it's good that I can do it on my terms now rather than scraping for gigs. But it's two passions that pull against each other. So I don't mind being in a tough place, because it's a dream place as well. So
I'm still waiting for you to make me laugh tonight.
Heckled on a podcast. Look, you look like you're on a stag do, mate, with your onesie. Oh, Jesus Christ. Right.
When's your next gig in London, Brian?
I haven't got a gig in London for a while, you know. The gigs in London, I'll tell you the truth, they don't pay that well unless you're doing the big clubs. And then you got to do the full weekends, and obviously when I'm traveling a lot. So out of London, I'm in and around. So I'm in Kingston, Sunbury, Winchester. I need to go down your way. Where are you based, Cups?
I'm in Essex.
I need to get Commoners. An Essex gig then. I will get an Essex gig booked in, and I'll let you know about
Come
that.
To Glasgow. We love Englishmen. Come to Glasgow.
One of my favourite cities in the world to gig in is Glasgow. You start speaking like I speak, and they look like they're going to stab you. And by the end, they're all buying the drinks. It's amazing. It's the greatest city to gig in. Glasgow is you've got some of the best clubs. The Stand up there, if you've never been to the Stand in Glasgow. No, it's not a strip club. No. If you've never been to the Stand in Glasgow, go treat yourselves. It's one of the best clubs in the country. So,
Do they have stand up in Russia?
They do. They do. They also forget stand up in Russia. My favorite thing in Russia is karaoke. All right. I got taken to a bar. It was at St. Petersburg. 1 a.m. after a show, they said, we're going to go to a karaoke bar. It sounds like the worst night of your life. And they took us down these little stairs. And I thought it was going to be horrific because it was a dingy little tiny club. Yep. They opened the door. There was about 350 Russians singing YMCA with a Russian accent, with one guy on stage doing the YMCA like he was a rock god. And whoever got up there, they treated them like they were a rock god. It was amazing. So I heard Russian Wonderwall. I heard Sweet Caroline. YMCA, they do all the classics, but with a Russian accent, and it is the best thing in the world. Forget comedy clubs, karaoke in Russia is where it's at.
Well, I'm a bit of a singer, and you need to take me over the next time you go.
If you get changed, mate, I'll take you anywhere, don't you worry.
I'll fly you over.
Oh, God.
That's a better night to end on than TJ Dillashaw, right?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, you just mentioned him again. Oh, I was going to say, we've horribly run over, so I'm sorry, Brian. We've promised you'd only take an hour of your time.
He's not wanting a piss or nothing yet. He's fine.
Yeah, at least that strong blood has served you well.
That's true.
Thanks, guys. Should we just talk, Brian, where can people reach you on social media?
Yeah, same place as on Twitter and Instagram is at Brian Lacey MMA. That's Brian with a Y. And on Facebook, just Brian Lacey. Just check out the page.
Awesome. Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. And obviously,
Katie, people can reach me at www.usc239freestream.com/fuck UFC.
It's so bewildering to me that our page keeps being taken down. I'm just
no makes no sense. I do not understand it.
Bastards.
Guys, follow us, follow our YouTube channel. If you like what we do, send in questions next time we're on, comment while we're on here. And Brian, thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you,
Peter and Kerry, thanks for joining us from MMA UK side. And we'll see you next time. Thank you, everyone.
See you soon. Bye.
Press that button, Frankie. Press the button.